Augustine. Augustine marks the end of one era in the beginning of another. He is the last of the ancient Christian theologians and the forerunner of medieval theology and Reformation thought. He did not develop his thought in a systematic vacuum, but wrote specifically around events that occurred in his lifetime and for specific purposes. Augustine was born to a Christian mother and pagan father in 354 AD in Tagaste in North Africa. His work, Confessions, are a main source of information for his early youth. His search for truth moved him to consider Manichaeism. The founder of that heretical movement was named Mani, who was born in Babylon in 216 AD. He was born and raised in a Gnostic and ascetic community, and believes he received a revelation which turned him into the prophet of light. This teaching follows the ancient Gnostic pattern of attempting to offer an answer to the mysteries of the human condition through revelation that comes directly from the source through Mani. Mani said that men like Buddha, Zoroaster, and Jesus were sent here to awaken men to a state of illumination, Mani himself being the last prophet, of course. The system is basically involved with dualism, where light versus darkness, and the eternal struggle for one dominion over another. Augustine was never a member of this sect, but he was an avid hearer. He listened to this teaching for 9 years, and it seemed to him that Manichaeism made rational sense of the universe, that rationalism appealing to him greatly. Augustine tried to meet with some of the great teachers of this movement, and finally had one with Faustus of Milevis. But the meeting was such a theological disappointment to him that he rejected the system outright, but then went and sought Neoplatonism. He read Plotinus, Porphyry, and other Neoplatonists, and was brought out of his skepticism and dealt with theological issues surrounding the incorporeal nature of God and the existence of evil. Thankfully, Augustine was later converted to Christianity through the prayers of his mother Monica and the preaching of Ambrose. He joined a monastic community in Tagaste and became a priest under Valerius, who was the bishop of Hippo. Later, Augustine would become bishop of Hippo. Augustine's theology is set in the midst of practical controversies against heretics that emerged in his lifetime. One of the first major controversies was the Donatus controversy, the origin of which were found during the persecution of Diocletian, which took place around 303 to 305 AD. Those who escaped persecution by giving in to Roman demands of recantation were called traditores. These traitors, then, after persecution had ended, wanted to come back to the church. Well, Donatus said this was impossible. Schism grew to great proportions as the result. Donatist ecclesiology insisted on the observable holiness of the church. Every member of the church must be holy, and this holiness was measured in their love and in their works. It was against this position that Augustine developed his distinction between the visible and invisible church. The church is not holy because of its works, but because of Christ's work in the church. The very schism that the Donatists were attempting to avoid, they were creating. The last great controversy that Augustine took to heart was against the heretic Pelagius. Again, Pelagius was a native of the British Isles and had his first encounter with Augustine's theology in Rome, where he heard the prayer that changed history. Augustine said, "Give what thou commandest, and command what thou wilt." Augustine had said this in his Confessions, and Pelagius had no room in his humanistic theology for such drivel. "If God gave men commands," said Pelagius, "then he also gave them the ability to work those commands." Pelagius was condemned in 431 AD at the Council of Ephesus. Pelagius had taught that grace is not necessary for salvation, though it may be of help. Man, of his own free will, can do good and can be good. Men only become sinners as they sin, and they're born a blank slate. Cholestius, Pelagius's main disciple, summarized Pelagianists' ideas in 9 points. 1, that Adam was created mortal. for he would have died no matter whether he sinned or not. 2, that Adam's sin injured him only, and not all of mankind. 3, that the law, as well as the gospel, leads to the kingdom. 4, that there were some before the time of Christ who lived without sin. 5, that recently born infants are in the same state as was Adam before the fall. 6, that the whole of humankind does not die in the death of the fall of Adam, nor does it resurrect in the resurrection of Christ. 7, that, if we will, we can live without sin. 8, that unbaptized infants still attain eternal life. 9, that the rich, who are baptized, will have no merit, nor will they inherit the kingdom of God if they do not renounce all their possessions. Now, it was against these doctrines that Augustine wrote some of his most notable work. He also wrote against Julian of Eclanum, a second-generation Pelagian, and further developed his views of original sin, of grace, and predestination. Augustine's most famous works in these areas are the Enchiridion, the Treatise on the Holy Trinity, the City of God, the Confessions, and his retractions in his anti-Pelagian writings. Augustine's theology is summarized as follows. His theory of knowledge revolved around two ideas, whether knowledge was possible, and if it was possible, how was it acquired? He rested in the innate qualities of the mind that were given to men by God. God is the eternal, transcendent, infinite, and perfect being. He is the supreme light by which all knowledge takes place. The triune God is the creator of all that exists. God made the universe out of nothing. This presupposes the relationship that exists between God and time. God created time because only God is eternal. Evil exists in the world because God ordained it, and it is a corruption of the relationship men have with God. It is not a thing, but a relationship, or rather a corruption of nature. Evil springs from free will, which is bound to the nature it occupies. In fallen men, the will is evil, and only does evil. When men are regenerated, they have the capacity to choose good or evil. The will was corrupted as a result of original sin, which envelops all humanity in a mass of damnation unless otherwise rescued by Jesus Christ. That which saves men is called grace. And this grace is extended because of God's predestination. Grace is irresistible, since predestination is an act of the divine will. After one is saved by grace, merit then occupies a principal place where men must strive to be holy. This holiness, though, is a work of God. This divine grace comes to men in and through Jesus Christ, but in the context of the communion of the church. The visible church comprises local meeting houses of membership of those that have professed faith in Christ and their children. All those people, they are part of the church, and those people are those who are alive today. That's the visible church. The invisible church are all of the elect from all time. So Augustine's ideas surrounding the sacrament of baptism are a little vague and a little confused at times. Though, against the Donatists, he made the point that baptism is not affected by the one administering it. If it is done in the name of the Trinity, and the formula is correct, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then it should be considered a valid baptism by ordained men who teach the truth.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com. By phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."